Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now in the Wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49%. Based on credit worthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com.
Look out. It's only films to be buried with.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I am a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, an embosser, and I love films. As the great Bobby Kennedy once said, the future is not a gift, it is an achievement. And I'll tell you what else is an achievement, that one-take long shot in the car in the film Children of Men. Absolutely mind-blowing. Every week I invite a special guest over, I tell them they've died, and then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. If you've never heard the show before, subscribe and check out previous guests. We've got Catherine Ryan, we've got Nish Kumar, we've got James Acaster, we've got everyone you've ever loved, they're all on here. But for episode 20, we have a very special guest in the form of Mr. Ricky Gervais. I was very grateful to Ricky for coming on the show. He was quite nervous that he'd say the wrong film, but as I explained to him before we started, there are no wrong films, except for Independence Day 2. Usual warnings apply. There's some swearing, there's some spoilers, and we do touch lightly on dark topics, so feel free to skip any bits that upset you, but don't be a baby and skip all of it, or you'll miss all the stuff about living in a bucket. So that's it for now. And I very much hope you enjoy episode 20 of Films to be Buried With. Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I am joined today by a very special guest. He is an activist, a tweeter, an actor, a writer, a director, a stand-up comedian, and also he'll love a dog.
Yeah.
Loves dogs.
Yeah.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Ricky Gervais.
Oh, just like guest. Before you said my name. What a lovely introduction.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm in your office.
I'm nervous.
It's very nice. What are you nervous
about? Well, because people take films very, very seriously. And I sort of do. I sort of want them to be life-changing. But I don't know enough. I know I've watched probably 10% of the films I'm told I should watch.
Right.
I mean, I've only just started watching TV with subtitles.
Do you?
And this, but my new favorite, now I can't watch something that they speak English.
You mean shows in a foreign
Scandic
language?
Dramas, yeah. It's because of Netflix.
Reality and, with subtitles.
No. Because of Netflix and Walt Presents and, you know, I'm just watching the best TV there's ever been. And it all happens to be subtitled in original language, which isn't English. So I know that I'm filling that void a little bit. But I think that my film tastes are quite mainstream. I watch most of my films now on an aeroplane.
Yeah.
On a 6-inch screen, you know.
Sometimes I wonder about this subtitle stuff. Like, I think because we don't know the language, it just always sounds so much better. Like, we think, oh, this is really deep. And sometimes I watch, like, French films, and I think, well, it was really deep and really beautiful. But then you think about the story, and it's always just someone shagging someone else. And you think, if this was in American, I wonder if we'd all be going, this is art.
Add to that a serial killer and a rogue cop.
Now you've got my...
But the thing is, it's not just watching it in the own language versus being dubbed. It's the fact that if there's an amazing Swedish or Israeli or German drama and then it's overdubbed for American Netflix, the acting of the people doing the voice is the same as a video game. They just say the words. You know what I mean?
There is an option of dub.
Yeah. You've tried. And we, accidentally, sometimes that comes on. Accidentally, you have to go into, no. Give me, I'll read it.
You've misunderstood me.
Yeah. And also now you can make the subtitles big for old people like me who refuse to wear glasses.
Right.
So, yeah.
But it stops you being, I think you're not tweeting and stuff, right? If you're watching something subtitled.
No. You've got to watch it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Clever.
And as I say, I have watched some of the best television I've ever seen in the last couple of years because of it. Because you've got the world to choose from, and the best ones are, you know, everything from, you know, it's probably started with things like The Bridge and The Killing, and then Four Blocks, Gomorrah. I see people raving about someone on the BBC, and I watch it. I go, no, this isn't the best thing ever. You know, so.
So welcome to the film podcast. You've made films. How many films have you made? Four.
Well, I do, made, so that would be mine. Invention of Lion, Cemetery Junction, Life on the Road, Special Correspondent. Yeah, that would be called, and then maybe 10 miscellaneous that I've popped up or,
What is the difference for you, like when you've written and made a film and written and made a TV show, what's the difference in terms of why and the thing?
Well, the pressure used to be on with films because there was a pressure from studios or whoever gave you the money to make as much money back as they could.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's things like, you know, an hour and a half movie could be shown four times at the cinema. Yeah. You know, making it 12 or 13A was better than 15 because you were cutting down your...
Yeah.
So all those pressures are more to do with commercial aspects than art.
Yeah.
But then Netflix comes along and they, you know, you can make your own movie. And I've always tried to get fine edit, whether it was in TV or film, but usually there's been a compromise.
Right.
I go to BBC Two instead of BBC One, so I'm left alone. I go to HBO instead of NBC. Again, then Netflix comes along and it's the best of both worlds because you're left alone artistically and the sky's the limit. They got 150 million subscribers. Wow. So they've sort of changed that. As much as it used to be exciting to make a film, those days are gone. Those days are gone now. TV is not only more exciting and often more lucrative, but it's better for the consumer. You don't have to go and see a remade rom-com at the cinema that's lowest common denominator, so it stays in, you know, for a week because it's the same as they saw last month and they know what they're getting, or a Marvel nonsense. You know, you can get, you know, things like The Sopranos and The Wire started changing it. And now there's, I think TV's winning.
I think it's certainly putting up a good fight.
We should, this should be called
TV shows to be buried with. No, welcome to
undermine the whole concept of this. No, but I still, you know, it's like anything. Most things are shit.
Yeah.
Most films are shit. Most TV is shit. Most music is shit. Most furniture is shit. Most buildings are shit. So. Yeah. You pick and choose, and you pick what you want, and you try and find excellence. And I'm also aware of the difference between what's the best film and what's your favourite.
Yeah,
you know, because they're not necessarily the same. It doesn't make sense to say I like crap films. I've never really understood that. I don't watch films ironically anymore. But I know that some of my taste is quite mainstream. And also, when you're on a plane at 30,000 feet getting free champagne, I mean, Jumper is an amazing movie.
You've seen Jumper. That is...
Loved it.
Yeah.
It's like the perfect aeroplane film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the last film you saw then?
Was on a plane last week, I think, going to New York. I mean... It's getting worse and worse. Now there are no films I want to watch on a plane.
Really?
Because the quality of Hollywood's gone down so much, and I don't want to watch some twat in a rubber suit running around that's aimed at kids. You know, that wasn't a fetish thing. That was a swipe for superhero films, right? It was that one with Liam Neeson on a train. Commuter?
Oh, Commuter.
Yeah.
Just watch that. Yeah.
Just
was
to,
it great?
Did he? Well, no, it wasn't great. Of course, it wasn't great. Why would it be great? The Godfather's great.
The idea
great,
is he's on, right, the, right. he's on the tube and was, someone says, kill
it was
someone
fun.
Or I'll kill
it
you.
Was, it was fun and it killed an hour and a half yeah. on a flight to New York. And it was, yeah, it was fun and I sort of enjoyed it. Would I watch it again? Of course not. There's no point. Why would I? Why would I watch it again? But, you know, it did its job. It did its job. And I doubt the director would get all yeah. uppity and how dare you talk about me. He did his job. Everyone did their job. Mm-hmm. They got paid and it killed 90 minutes.
So you think genuinely, because I wonder about this, I'm in a film, which I won't name, that is, I'd say one of the worst films ever made, ever.
Right.
However, I remember when the reviews came out and they were terrible and they'd say things like, this cynical cash in and I knew from being around the writers and directors and producers, the tragedy was there was nothing cynical about it from their point of view. Like they really believed in this thing. They thought they were making a...
Yeah.
So I really thought, I can see watching it and going, oh, they just sort of turned up, but they didn't. They really thought they were making...
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, it's very hard. It's hard to make an okay film.
Mm.
With all the constraints,
yeah.
you know, availability, funding, getting your own way, marketplace, who's it aimed at? Is this, you know,
yeah.
all those things. It's hard to make an okay film, okay?
Yeah.
So when you start looking at that, you look at films like Community and think, actually, it's pretty good because yes. it's a tough job.
Yeah.
It's a tough job. And to make a really good film, really hard, to make a great film, there are 100.
Yeah.
In the history of wow. movie making, you know what I mean? So if you look at it like that, actually, all those films you think are shit, shit, shit,
yeah, yeah.
they're not fucking shit, and you couldn't do it.
They,
you know,
they, that's they what
you
want to say.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Can I ask you this? And if this is like too, we'll cut it. But I'm interested because I'm having this experience with trying to get films made and stuff. When you made, say, Special Correspondence, you had movies, you had Eric Banner in it. Now, to get him to be in it, did it have to be a straight offer or did you get to meet him and talk to him? Because I'm assuming you'd never met him before.
No, you met him and, you know...
You met with him.
Yeah, and you want to get on because you're in the same room for 7 weeks. And I don't want to work with arseholes.
No.
I don't think, oh, you can, you know, get going so-and-so.
Yeah.
In fact, we say what they like to work with. It doesn't go... They could be worth twice the box office. But
yeah.
I go, no, I don't want to fucking work with him. If he's a, and Eric's a lovely bloke who got yeah. it all and it was fun. That's the other thing with me in film, TV, anything. I still want the experience to be fun. I don't want to do My Apocalypse Now. You know what I mean? I don't want to get Oscar nominated, but have a heart attack.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not worth it. I do want to say to people, you know, as great as art is, probably man's greatest achievement, it's still just entertainment. You don't want to yeah. die for it. You don't need to die
yeah.
to make a film or a TV show.
I agree. I have yeah. no dickheads rule. But I also think it's interesting that so many films, and it's such a big thing, the way the business works is if you're having a big name, you often just have to offer the film. You can't meet them, you can't have a conversation.
Well, there's also things, again...
It might be a dickhead.
It's probably different now with Netflix, because again, it... But there's a thing in studio films where there's above and below the line. So you yeah. might have a budget of 20 million, but then they say, but if you get Tom Cruise, we'll pay his fee. It doesn't come out of your
yeah.
budget.
And I'd be like, can I have a coffee with him first?
Yeah, exactly. so it depends.
Mm.
It depends. Some people do things for love. Some people do things just for money. You know the films yeah. where they've turned up for money.
Yeah,
you know it. You can tell.
You watch them on planes.
They yeah yeah yeah. Or well maybe yeah. But it's all different now because it's all taken a kick in. You know, Hollywood now is Sundance and films are Marvel comics and people running around in rubber suits for kids. You know, it's different. And then there's Netflix.
Can I ask you one more question about that?
Yeah.
And then we'll get to this. Is so with your films, do they give you no notes? You're just it's just do what you want.
Well,
come back.
Well, I've sort of changed. I used to fear it. I didn't even like executives saying, oh, that's good. I wanted to go, don't say anything. But now I sort of, but when you get, if you are relaxed and you have fine led it,
yeah.
then I don't fear it
but
so
you
much.
Can hear it.
I can
yeah,
ask her, I go, what do you think? Because I know that it's when you might not have fine led it that you're in a corner with a flaming torch
yeah.
going, stay back, stay back.
yeah,
but you know, again, the model's changed. Netflix have stopped that arrogance because you can always go there and get your own way.
Yeah.
And also, you know, some great films have been made by studios, by committee. It's just that you've got to make sure that you're at least equal to them with making your own film or do something else. Or, you know, let's not forget, most directors are hired.
Yeah.
This thing that they're being auteurs, they're not. They have to call to change a line. Most films with a decent budget, that director is hired because he won't be a problem. That's why directors walk out and get fired, because they're a fucking problem. But most films that you see, that director is on the staff, and it's rare. It's rare to have real.
Yeah.
Fight. So anyway,
and that's.
But, Chris Guest was telling me a famous story of in Rain Man. You know, they do those notes. You do a screening, and then they fill out a form. One famous one that they got for Rain Man was, "It's a shame the little guy didn't snap out of it by the end," which I fucking love. I did a test screening for The Adventures of Lion, and it was going really well, and they sort of liked it. And there was one woman who had a problem with it all the way through. She kept putting her hand up. Well, I'm at the back secretly, you know, in a hat and dark glasses. They must know you're
awful.
There. Yeah. And she said, "What didn't you like about it?" And she put her hand up and said, "I didn't like the religious, you know, undertones."
Yeah.
And then what did you notice that could be? I noticed that she didn't have a bouquet at the wedding. Things like this, right?
Wow.
And then said, "What would you change about it?" She put her hand up and said, "I'd put Jim Carrey in the lead role." And I laughed out loud, and everyone looked round. Yeah, we can't do that.
We like,
can't
me change too. That.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, it's
God. I can't believe you sat in the room for that.
Yeah, I didn't want to do it. I don't think we changed anything. But yeah. The answer is it depends. It depends on who you are, what the budget is, what you're trying to do. You know, some people just want to be in filmmaking.
Yeah.
They don't get all arty about it or want an Oscar. They want to make a movie and see it in the cinema with their mum.
Yeah.
You know, and have a job. So it depends on your ambitions and, yeah.
I've forgotten to tell you, and I should have told you when I got here, and it's really bad that I didn't say this first because it might come as a bit of a shock, and I'm really... I don't even know how to put it without sort of freaking you out, but you died.
Oh,
sorry.
I'm dead.
Yeah, how did you die?
Just fell on a spike.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where was the spike?
I was avoiding a safe falling from a building.
Oh, wow.
I thought, I don't want to die like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a comedy ending. And I fell back and I fell on a spike, which went straight up my arse.
Your arse?
Yeah.
Kidding out.
Terrible.
That is unfortunate.
Terrible. Which is still better than being found in a wardrobe wearing tights.
Yeah.
How did I die? I don't know. Probably, I don't know.
Fell on a spike.
Well, I'd like to think it was of old age in bed, having a whiskey, watching a Scandic drama. But
it wasn't. It was you fell onto a spike. It went straight up your ass and through your brain.
Or maybe not through my brain. Maybe through my mouth. And I was stuck there.
Yeah. Oh, then
going,
Jesus.
Help me.
It took you 3 days. Couldn't get you off.
Fucking hell.
Just crucified yourself. The irony.
I know.
On a spike. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, that's an awful way to go. But again, better than wanking yourself to death in a cupboard. Because
yeah, I think so.
That would be your legacy, as we know. And it would
You've
done so much.
All the fucking good things I've done.
You've done so much. Then you
wanked
yourself.
Do you remember Ricky Gervais?
Yeah, the guy who wanked himself to death in the cupboard.
Oh, yeah.
Did you do anything else?
Yeah, I know.
Not top of my head.
Terrible, isn't it? Fucking terrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyway, so you, how do you feel about death? Does it worry you?
Don't worry about being dead,
Okay. Obviously,
because I won't know I'm dead.
Yes.
Except for this podcast.
Yeah.
I do worry about how I die, I guess, now and again. It's not, I'm no Woody Allen.
Right.
You know, I don't, you know what I mean? I don't go around going, I don't think he does either. I mean, my worst fear is probably being told I've got 3 months to live.
Is it?
Well, yeah.
What if you were told you had 3 months to live, we'd be absolutely fine. You'd be absolutely fine, but in 3 months you're going to fall on a spike and go through your head.
Die in my sleep.
Okay, you're going to die in sleep in 3 months.
Again,
no pain.
What do I do? How do I spend that 3 months?
That's the question.
No point in starting any box sets, is there? right? I don't know.
What was cancelled after 1 year?
It's that terrible, sad thing that you have to worry about your admin and getting things in order and saying goodbye. It's awkward. Whereas if you go, boom, what happened? He was hit by a bus.
Yeah.
Dead instantly. He doesn't know about it. Good on him. Let's have a wake.
You'd rather not know.
I think, well, yeah, I think so. I mean, unless, I don't know. I mean, I don't even want to know you're going to die at 93 in your sleep.
Right, right,
then,
okay.
Then it's your birthday. Happy 93rd birthday. Oh, fucking hell.
Here we go.
Here we go. TikTok.
What if you were told 2 years, you've got 2 years to live, and you're going to have no pay, then you're going to fall on a spike?
Well, that's that way, yeah, well, I'm getting to the point where that's likely, isn't it?
Oh, God.
That I've got 2 years. God. Well, no, I mean, just think of, like, when I was a kid.
Yeah, no, yeah, you'd have
57, 59. They go, well, 59's a bit young, but...
You had a good run.
Yeah. Didn't even get to retirement.
Probably shouldn't have wanked himself off in that cupboard.
We don't know. And I think that's the good bit.
Right.
If everyone knew they all lived till 60, that would be fairer.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be nice to be around, would it? It wouldn't be nice to be around 59-year-olds.
Yeah, 59-year-olds would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
All skydiving.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I don't know about that.
Are you going to come for dinner? No, I've got a year to live. Fuck your dinner.
I sometimes forget how old I am. I go, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Because you don't feel it. You don't feel...
How old is your brain? How old do you feel?
Oh, I don't know. 40.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
It's older than I thought.
Oh, I know. Where I know. I'm not delusional. I don't think I'm a kid anymore.
Right, okay.
But I forget.
When did that change? At 40?
At 28, I thought I was 40. Once I started realising I don't want to wear fucking tight trousers or stand up in a bar shouting. I want a comfy chair with a bloke and a dog and I can hear the clock ticking. You know, I want comfort. That's when the elasticated waistbands
28.
And trainers came in and slippers. Yeah, 28. No, I mean, I, you know, I've been middle. I don't know what middle age is anymore. I suppose it's late 30s, isn't it? Late 30s. I mean, it's moving back and forward. It's a state of mind as well. You know, 57. You go fucking hell, 57. Fucking hell. That's there's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. That's middle aged. If I live to 114.
Fucking hell. Oh, brother. Well, listen.
But I don't care about it. No, I don't care.
No, it doesn't worry you.
I don't care about it. I don't...
You don't live in constant fear of...
I don't believe in heaven and hell.
Mm-hmm.
I think my reward is here and now. I think it's finite and beautiful and amazing. We'll never live again. The chances of being here at all are 400 trillion to one.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. I think it's arrogant to think you deserve an afterlife or a second life or... heaven or reincarnation. And would I like to live forever? Well, you know, on my own terms, yes.
Yeah.
You know, being 40 in my head and even 57, not so bad. But, you know, I talk about this in my new stand-up, you know. They say, oh, you give up all this and that and lead a good life and you live an extra 10 years. Yeah, but, you know, that'd be 80 to 90.
Yeah.
If you could have 40 to 50 again, then good on you. But
so if you could stay 40, less like a vampire, you're a vampire.
Yeah.
40, when you were 40, you're a vampire. You stay physically that way forever, but everyone else around you.
No, because I know that that would be terrible in the long run, wouldn't it? Losing all your friends all the time.
You could make Jane a vampire.
So. Yeah, I know. But then it's like, fucking hell, what is good forever?
Mm.
Nothing. It would soon be like hell. You couldn't opt out.
Yeah.
You know, and you can make all the rules, but the only thing you could say is you're healthy and happy. And then you go, well, by definition, if I was in a bucket full of my own piss and I was happy, well, I'll have that then. Fine. It doesn't make sense. You know.
Forever.
You know what I mean? That'd be the last few years, me in a bucket full of my own piss. Nurse.
Happiest he's ever been.
Look at him.
You see Ricky? I've never seen him so happy.
Yeah. Why? Why? He's on heroin. He thought, fuck it.
He sits in a bucket.
Yeah, he sits in a bucket taking...
Why is he in a bucket? Don't know.
Chasing the dragon.
Nothing wrong with him. He's just wanting to sit in a bucket.
Yeah.
He's happier there.
He's gold. He's got an armchair. even as the bucket.
So got literally a lazy boy right next to the bucket.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think about it a lot. As I say, sometimes I, you know, you think, oh, fucking hell, happy birthday. Mm. How old are you? 57. But no, I don't think about death and...
Well, that's good.
I think about health more than death.
Right. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, listen, if you can have a healthy, active life, having fun, like I do all the time, all my life, whatever my circumstance was, you know, poverty to wealth, you know, whatever, and someone said, and you die in your sleep or suddenly and you don't know about it, I wouldn't care about a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's only that death with dignity that you worry about.
Right.
The pain, loneliness, suffering. Yeah.
It's a shame that you died slowly over 3 days on a spike up your ass.
I know.
It's a shame.
I realised I could have chosen, at least in my fantasy, I could have chosen a better death.
Could have had anything you wanted. Have you always been this zen about all this stuff? It's unusual.
Well, I don't think it's zen. I think it's more rational.
Right.
It's what it is. I don't wish that there's no heaven and hell.
Right.
There isn't. And me wishing there is doesn't change it, you know.
But I mean, the rest of it, they're like just being enjoying it all.
Yeah, I've always known that's the way to do it.
It's pretty good that
just taking that shortcut, because I think people just go around the houses and try and do things that make them happy, where you can go straight to being happy.
Yeah,
if you're lucky enough not to be burdened with depression, which I'm not, you know, it's very different. It's very glib to say, oh, just be happy. Yeah. Well, that's, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm lucky that I am happy. Again, I don't and be happy. I know what makes me happy, and that's doing what I want every day and hopefully being a good person and having a clear conscience and helping animals and having a laugh and having a drink, you know, that'd be my, he had a laugh, he had a drink, then he died. He got drunk and found a lump.
Oh, God. Used to drag him around in a bucket the last few years. He was so happy.
But I just think, what can I do about it? If people say, are you happy you're going to die? I go, no, change it. Yeah. You can't. Well, then fucking yes then. What are we talking about?
So you've got good happiness inside.
Yeah.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now in the Wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval, variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49%. Based on credit worthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com.
Yeah.
Well, listen, this is going to fucking blow your mind. I don't know if you're even going to be angry about this, but guess what?
What?
There is an afterlife. You idiot! There was one all along, hiding behind a curtain.
Fuck, am I having to shuffle round in heaven with a spike up my ass and out my mouth?
Yeah, and everyone's...
Talking to Jesus.
God meets you and he's like, listen, no hard feelings.
Right.
I know you did a lot of trolling of me.
Am I in the heaven that I would believe in if I was... I'm culturally a Christian, even though I'm an atheist, so yeah,
well,
you're Christian
in,
heaven.
It's heaven for all. It's right. Very nice.
Right.
God is not surprisingly very forgiving.
Is he a jolly fellow
big
with a
lad,
huge beard,
a beard,
big hands, good at making shit?
Yeah, it looks like Santa.
Yeah,
and he's like, no hard feelings. I enjoyed it. He said, I think you're very funny, and it was you know, some good ideas you were saying. The only thing is, you keep saying, can you remove the spike then? And he goes, no, we'll keep that.
Right.
You're shuffling around with the...
But I don't mind, do I? Because I'm happy with it in heaven.
Well, you've got a good... Yeah, you're
okay. I assume, what's the point in not being happy about something in heaven?
Yeah, you're fine with it.
I'm fine with it. People are jealous of my spike.
It's an icebreaker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's an icebreaker. Yeah.
So, okay. But in this heaven, all they really care about is films, weirdly.
Right,
which
brilliant.
For a TV fan like yourself, it's great news.
Right.
And they want to know about your life through film. And the first question they ask is, what is the first film that you remember seeing? Do you remember seeing your first film?
I do, but the first films I saw, I don't remember seeing. I know they'd be some sort of black and white film when I was very young on telly. Probably something with, you know, Jimmy Cagney and James Raft and all those guys, sort of gangsters or, you know, those sort of things my mum watched. But the first film I remember seeing as my first film, I think, at the cinema.
Yeah.
I was probably 5 or 6. It would have been a rerun then in the local cinema for kids. My mum took me to see.
Yeah.
Old Yeller.
Oh, my God. That is your first film?
Fuck me.
And you've grown up to be a happy person.
And that's why I'm kind to animals.
That's why you love dogs.
Yeah, and I even got it. I even got it was the kind thing to do at the time.
Oh, my God.
Can we give away films?
Yeah, I set up a...
So, it's a kid who loves his dog, lovely family dog. He gets rabies and they have to shoot it. And he says, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to well up now.
Yeah.
It's my dog. And he has to shoot it. And it's fucking devastating. Yeah. I'm nearly crying now.
Yeah.
So what did that do to a fucking 6-year-old? It was, I mean...
I think you've got an incredible outlook, given that was the start.
I understood from what it was the kindest thing to do. It was, you know, and I knew all the trauma and all the fact that the person who loved it most loved it so much that he wanted to do it. And it's, you know, it's amazing. And it definitely influenced me at the time and probably ever since. And what films can do, you know, just the fact that what a film can do to your brain. And I remember, telling Jane about it for years. Jane hadn't seen it. And then a few years ago, Jane found it somewhere on... She went, oh, I'm going to watch that film. We talked about Old Yeller. I went, oh, enjoy. I'm on a train, right? I'm going to a gig. I'm on tour. It was like doing science. And I get a text from her about a half hour. She goes, nothing happens to the dog, does it? Right? And I sent back, of course not, it's a kid's film.
Oh, you monster.
I get a text about half hour later, you cunt.
Fucking hell.
So I wanted her to go through I know. Why do we like that? Why do we want people to...
Yeah, it's like with horror films, they're always like, you've got to go see that.
Yeah, particularly if you know they're scared of shit.
Why is that? Was it your mum took you to that? Was it just you? You've got brothers.
Yeah, mum used to take me in the school holidays to, you know, now and again. That was a special treat. Oh, they were much older than me though. I was nearly an only child because my brother was 11 years older than me. My sister was 13 years older than me. Oh. And my older brother was like 14 years older than me. In fact, my mum, when I was sort of like 5, 6, 7, she fostered. So I wasn't brought
really?
Up spoiled. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Same parent, same mum and dad.
Yeah.
So you were.
When I was 13, I said to my mum, why are my brothers and sisters so much older than me? And she went, because you were a mistake. And I just laughed. Right. Yeah. Again, I've always loved honesty.
Great.
But thinking about it, I want to go back and go, fuck, they were all mistakes. They were all mistakes.
Fascinating. Do you remember thinking when you saw Old Yeller and all that, do you remember thinking, I want to do this? Because it was quite a long time before you did sort of TV film stuff.
But I remember the films I went to see, and I remember being devastated and not being able to console myself. Then I saw Ring of Bright Water.
What's Ring of Bright Water?
Well, he finds an otter.
Oh, right. It's the otter film.
Fuck me. Same thing. Fuck me.
Don't watch films with animals because they're not going to end well.
They're not going to end well.
They never end well.
What? Well, one does.
Beethoven.
Well, Jungle Book. You think Baloo's dead?
Well, except,
what a fucking euphoric.
I've talked about this on here before, but Jungle Book ends with, you know, their new best friend, ditching them all for some girl.
Well, yeah, but that's nature. That's nature.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, that's what they're meant to make you think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the film that scared you the most in your life?
Well, all these films and all these questions, they're very age relative, aren't they, really? But I remember one that when you get scared nowadays,
yeah,
it's either a real threat.
Right.
There's actually a bloke with a sword outside your window. That's actually scary. And you have to deal with it, right?
It'd be scary, yeah.
Or you jump, or you have a nightmare.
Right.
But as a thing that affected me the most, I think it was a Hammer horror, you know, a Christopher Lee.
Oh, really?
Hokey old, you know, but not when you're nine. And my sister, I think, was babysitting me. So she'd have been like early 20s and let me stay up late and watch Dracula. And she said, I said, what is it? She went, he's a monster with big fangs, right?
Yeah.
And I was expecting a kangaroo.
Right.
I remember at nine thinking, and in my head, I go, oh, what's that? It's like, it's probably a kangaroo, right?
Fascinating.
I don't know why I thought a kangaroo.
Yeah.
Because it is, it said, she said, fang, kang. What in a 9 year old, I say, oh, a monster with big fangs, that's like a kangaroo thing, right?
Yeah.
And she said, it sucks your blood. I thought, oh, let's have a look at this. And I watched it and I didn't sleep for a month.
Really?
I remember going to bed and I remember making a rule for myself.
Yeah.
That if the sheet is over my neck, they can't get in.
Right.
They can't get to you.
Yeah. Because the sheet's off.
I mean, that could have sent me fucking mental.
Yeah.
Really?
Can I?
I mean, it could have been worse, but then you get over it and you think, no, fucking hell, it's not real. But it was around that time as well that I stopped believing in, you know, Santa and God. So, right. But we frighten ourselves.
Yeah, why do you think it is?
Because we test ourselves.
It's a workout, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a workout. I mean, yeah. I mean, all fiction is like a workout for the soul, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
Can
I say something? When I did your radio show last, you said something which I've not stopped thinking about. If you don't mind me saying on here that your nightmare, you have a recurring nightmare that you're a vampire.
Yeah.
And
I'm scaring someone
you're
else.
You're scared that's of scaring
someone else, yeah.
And you want to tell Jane,
I think that's about power. Like,
right.
Like, there's a responsibility when, you know, you have any, if you've got any power or any say in anything, your responsibility is to not hurt another person. And so in my dreams, I let myself go and I think, oh, I can scare this. And then the fucking guilt goes and it wakes me up because I'm terrified. It's terrifying. Or I don't know. That's me, self, and I'm probably wrong.
But if Dracula was your, it's interesting you visualized a vampire.
Yeah. I suppose, again, that's me, what scared me the most as a kid. Now I'm the scary one. Maybe it's seizing power. Maybe it's if I'm a vampire, you can't hurt me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's too much cheese and wine before I go to bed. With a cold remedy, because they're the best fucking dreams. When I've got flu and I'm pissed and I take some night nurse, fucking hell. Now we're tripping. So I don't know what it means. But then as an adult, I remember being affected at sort of 18 when I saw The Exorcist. But the first thing I did was rewind the video and watch it again. I thought it was the most amazing horror film I'd ever seen.
Wow.
Again, you know, I don't believe in the devil, but he's... What a great fucking fictional character he is.
Yeah.
You know, Christ versus the fucking devil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Great. That's great. That's a superhero film. There's no greater superhero confrontation than God versus the devil. That's it.
That's the end. Alien versus
Forget Predator. Fucking Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
God versus the devil. Now we're fucking talking chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should pitch that. That's a good.
I'll do it. Which one would I play? I'm torn.
Yeah, you probably have to play both parts, like Eddie Murphy.
What? But both of them white, like Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, look like Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
What is? I was sure we've got a lot of answers for this because you're an emotional man. What is the film that made you cry the most?
Again, age relative. I remember. Oh no.
Does this not work the other way?
I've got one at the time and still, I can't cope with it. I cannot cope with it. It's the saddest thing in any movie ever.
Yeah.
It's the saddest thing in any fiction. Okay, I've got to do this without crying.
Okay.
Danger Mad Elephant, when Dumbo's mum is rocking him to sleep in her trunk through the bars. Honestly, I can vomit and cry at the same time with that. There's nothing There's nothing sadder than that three-minute sequence in a movie.
I think you might actually be right. Dumbo's mum rocking him to sleep for a jail cell.
Fuck me. And for crimes they didn't commit.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah, too much. It's that.
Okay. Good answer. Solid. What is a film that is meant to be bad, sort of critically bad? People don't like this film, but you're like, you're all idiots. I love this film.
Well, again, it's difficult when you mean a guilty pleasure, do you? Or I think they're wrong.
No, I think I don't mean a guilty... Well, someone might say, oh, that's a guilty pleasure, and you go, no, it's not a guilty pleasure. It's just a really good film.
Oh, I don't know, because I probably don't move in those. Well, everyone's different. I mean, people that I agree with on everything, and then they let me down by not liking the film that I love or liking a film that I think is fucking dreadful. Because that's because that just shows you how subjective things are. Yeah. I mean, there is no right and wrong answer. I suppose you want a contrary, you know, you want sort of consensus that I go against.
Mine is Grease 2. So, like, people
I've
think
heard
Grease
that before, though.
Shit.
I've heard that before. Right. I think Matthew Vaughn, the director,
that's Grease 2.
I think we did Stardust, and I think he introduced Michelle Pfeiffer on stage saying, my favourite film of yours is Grease 2.
Oh, great.
And he went, I'm not joking.
No, it's
and I was thinking, but Scarface? She was in Scarface.
She's been married to the mole.
What are you doing? What do you mean? So I don't think I've watched Grease 2. I think it might have been on... I know what you mean.
But yeah, that is a film that is sort of general consensus is certainly Chris.
What about I can think of a film that I've watched those times that I genuinely love.
Yeah,
and know that some people think, why are you watching that twice? Mm-hmm. It's not Citizen Kane. is Pretty Woman.
Right,
I think it's a great movie. You know, as a romantic comedy, and you know, but then I do. But then again, it's skewered because I do watch these so-called trashy films at 30,000 feet on champagne. So I do love things like Jumper. Limitless might be the ultimate aeroplane.
Oh, movie. Limitless is great.
You know, the first time he took that pill and looked at the book, I'm in. That, give me that.
It's great. It makes you want to do...
And then on the plane, I watched that film. What's her name? Johansson.
Lucy.
Terrible.
No, I love Lucy.
After Limitless. Nah. This is just shoot 'em up.
It's Limitless without all the talking.
Yeah, exactly. I want it to be a bit
like, Lucy, sit down, have a chat.
Again, not a terrible film, but I should have watched them in the reverse order.
I
should have watched Lucy. It's pretty good. They go, you think Lucy's good? Watch Limitless.
Wait till you see Bradley Cooper take some pills.
Yeah, that was just too... It was like, again, it was like a video game. I'm not slacking it off, but, you know, it's compared to Limitless.
Compared to the masterpiece that is it?
Yeah.
They made a TV show out of Limitless.
Did they?
Just for...
Again, I don't think you need to extend that experience.
Yeah. You got the gist.
So, yeah, they're probably films like that escapist sort of...
Yeah, Limitless isn't beloved.
You know, and I watch films, and there might be one little idea in it that I liked.
Yeah,
you know, Taken. I thought, fucking hell, it's the best. There's some films that you go, they're the best of the genre.
Yeah,
the genre might be awful.
Yeah,
but you know, Con Air, great film, The Rock,
amazing.
Right, you know, those are the best of their genre. Die Hard, probably the greatest of its genre and a few others, you know. But those sort of things are rare. I don't usually like those car chase, shoot 'em up films, you know.
Did you like, in Special Correspondence, you've got shooting and
but cars, spoof.
I know, but was it fun to shoot?
Yes, of course it was.
Did you love it?
Yeah, but I really have still got, there's no part of me that goes, maybe I could do a serial. I know that it's funny because I'm a little fat bloke who's scared of the gun and shooting people in the balls by mistake. it's spoof.
Yeah.
You know, there is no part of me. People said this about Life on the Road. They said, oh, secretly, do you wish you were a rock star? I go, well, I failed at that, but this is pure comedy.
Yeah.
You know, after Ghost Town, people didn't go, oh, do you want to be a dentist?
Do you want to be
a dentist? It's because rock's cool. and they think like being being a hero with guns is cool. It, you know, so no, at no point did I think, this is cool. No, it's comedy. It's comedy. So I never forget that, you know, vanity exists, but not in the work. Right. No, definitely not. No, you've got to make a putz of yourself.
Yeah. But I think what I mean is, I'm not saying that it isn't funny. It's that you did also get to like jump a car and shoot guns. And
yeah, but I was terrified.
Like, oh, you were genuinely?
Of course.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay. For Eric Banner, who's an actual racing driver.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He does. Right. So there's that in an old Jeep.
Right.
Going over a rackety bridge. Right. And we're going to fire guns. I was fucking terrified. I was dreading it. For the weeks beforehand.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I cut out things like, you know, jumps over things, takes off, and I'm like, fuck that. Originally, I wrote it was a motorbike.
Netflix, I'm saving you money here.
Yeah, fuck that. Get a Jeep.
Oh, it was going to be a motorbike.
Motorbike at first. Oh. No, fuck that.
They're walking slowly over a bridge.
Yeah, walking, exactly. Yeah.
They've dropped the guns. There's no guns.
Yeah. I didn't even like the fact that it was real guns.
Wow.
With you know, not that they were once real guns, but I didn't even. I thought, fucking hell, it looks a bit,
I love that you're dreading it. Oh, shit,
yeah.
I think we're gonna cancel this film just as it came the last week. We nearly finished with it. No,
I never get caught up in what I do get caught up in is nuance and relationships and romance and honor and things like that. I get caught up in. I love that scene, you know, in a scene when I'm crying, I'm fucking crying. I'm acting, but you know, I can do it. Whereas I could never get caught up in putting it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Dressing up as a superhero or, you know, pretending to be a real hero.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'd never forget that I'm an actor. Right. I think that's the problem.
Well, when you're in it, that's what I wanted to ask you, actually. Like, when we did Derek, I had a scene with you where you were crying, and it was so impressive because you did it, like, instantly.
Once. I can do it once instantly.
I thought, this sounds amazing, actually. But you also were, like, talking, like, set up and action, and then you cried.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, my God. And then you said cut, and then you added, like, chat. And I was like, when you were in that bit, in your head, can you... Are you just going...
No, the thing's got to make me cry.
Right.
What I can't do is I can't be acting a thing that wouldn't make me cry thinking about something sad.
Right.
The sadder the actual thing is in the thing I'm acting, I can get there quicker. But you can only do it once. So I say two cameras, you've got to capture this. Because once you've cried and it's good, you can't cry again. You feel better.
Yeah. I'm not really bothered about this.
So all my crying scenes are the one and only take.
But so when you're in it, I mean, it's quite hard to sort of analyze acting and stuff, but like, are you in it, in that moment, are you sort of fully focused? This is it. I am Derek doing this moment. Or
I am. Those sort of things, I can get lost in it. But then no, okay, that's enough. Let's, cut.
Right.
Yeah. So I can recreate emotions.
Your brain comes back. You do it for a bit, then your sort of director brain.
Yeah.
So there we go.
I'm okay at that. I'm okay at laughing and crying. I'm okay at recreating emotions. Yeah.
Really, really impressive. What is the film you loved years ago, but it doesn't hold up now? You've watched it recently and you're going, oh dear, I don't know why I love this.
Oh,
Really dated. Either it's dated or you just don't like it anymore, or you go, oh, that was a really like sexist film that I used to enjoy, or anything like that.
Oh, that's the tough one. Probably those films you watched to wear as a badge.
What, like Last House on the Left or something, you mean?
Well, things like, again, very, not just age relative, but how old you are in what year relative. Yeah. I remember being blown away by things like Clockwork Orange.
Right.
But I don't know if that would stand up for me now.
That's a brilliant answer. I think... I don't really like that film, and I did when I was young because it was cool. And it was...
Well, even Burgess went through didn't he go through a pang of conscience about the ending and stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
Or was it?
Stanley Kubrick. He banned it himself.
Oh, I think was it? Yeah. Right. Again, it was pretty super to watch that as a teenager. I think. Everything about it was cool, and I think you worry less about the ambiguity of morality.
Yeah.
You just like, when you like the chutzpah, you know. So probably something like that. What's that? I saw a film. What's the one with Mickey Rourke's Motorcycle Boy and Matt Dillon?
Oh, Rumblefish. Rumblefish.
Yeah. I thought it was incredible. Right. And I don't think that would stand up for me now.
Right. That might be like The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, there's sort of a little bit of, I mean, there's so many films now that are style over content that I wouldn't fall for, but I think your sort of 15, 16, 17, even 25-year-old brain sort of likes that. There's even recent films that I don't think I could enjoy as much, like Magnolia, that split the vote at the time.
Love Magnolia.
So did I, but I don't know if I would now.
I watched it recently.
Is it good?
It's fucking amazing. It's better.
I like, what's the film like it that with all the different...
Shortcuts?
No, Julia Roberts and Matt Dillon as the cop.
Crash?
Crash, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Again, I love that again, because I thought that was sort of Magnolia light and without the edges a little bit. I quite enjoyed that at the time. Again, that's, but it's a sort of... there's some films you watch and you go, oh, that's great. Would you watch it again? Definitely not.
Yeah.
There's no... You know what I mean? I've had the experience. It's like a joke. Mm-hmm. I've had the surprise and the journey, but things that you know, like Tootsie,
yeah.
I watched that 100 times.
Right.
It's still, you know what I mean? I haven't watched it. I've probably watched it 30 times.
Okay.
There's some, because you recreate those lovely ideals and the emotions and the aspirations and and the sweetness and the things that are timeless. Whereas something that's,
it's the painful stuff, isn't it? That you,
well, it's more innovation in a way. I think innovation suffers and dates more. You look at an iPod from 2 years ago. It looks like the '50s.
Yeah,
because it was so. Yeah. And this, you know, it's true. So I think sometimes those things suffer a little bit when technology is the innovation, or you know, things that even attitude and trend, when they're the best thing about it. I think it dates quicker as well.
You're very right. And stuff gets sort of cannibalized to the extent. Something like Paranormal Activity, I think, is a masterpiece. The first one is this really clever way to scare people. It's a really brilliant film. But it was so then used in everything.
Well,
now you'd probably hate Paranormal. You'd watch it was this shit.
Another example, like Seven, I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
So I watched Saw, which was pretty good. But then I watched Saw 2,
right.
And I thought, what happened?
Yeah.
What happened there? Yeah. They've lost all the bits I like. Now it's just squashing heads. It's like, and luckily I try and avoid the hype because I know I'll hate it with all the hype. And I watched Blair Witch last year.
Oh, right.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
But I hated it when everyone was saying it's the best. Well, I'm not going to watch it then. You said me it's the best. I'm not watching it then. No.
You ruined it, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not watching it. Yeah.
I'm getting back in my bucket, forget it. We're doing, I stepped out.
Yeah.
The thing about Clockwork Orange that upsets me is Singing in the Rain is my favourite. And, you know, they use Singing in the Rain in it.
When he's beating. Yeah, but that's odd as well, that Singing in the Rain is your favourite, because I've never been to a musical.
Right.
I sort of like them. I like the numbers. I like, you know, but I can't really enjoy, I've never liked the Busby Bartley or people bursting into song.
Yeah.
I've never really got the Wizard of Oz and all those camps sort of thing. I sort of needed them to be life changing.
Have you seen Singing in the Rain? It's funny. That's the thing. It's proper funny.
Maybe I should watch it again. Maybe it was just on the telly when I, you know, around Christmas time and I was too young to appreciate it. So I must say I haven't watched it as an adult. No.
Okay.
No.
Give it a go.
Okay.
And you know, I think you'll like it because it's emotional and funny.
Oh, is it? Okay. Sensitive. Well, I've probably got that wrong then. I
know what you mean about
watched it.
About most sort of Busby Berkeley lines. I'm not into that. I'm not into just people doing a song for no reason.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is Gene Kelly, just makes me sad, this story.
He's funny, isn't he?
He's really funny. And he was like 80 or something. He was at an award ceremony and he saw Malcolm McDowell from Clockwork Orange and he said, "Are you the man from Clockwork Orange?" And Malcolm said, "Yes, I am. I'm a big fan." And Gene Kelly just sort of looked at him and I can't remember if he said anything or he just walked off, but he was clearly like,
disgusted.
"Why did you do that to my thing?" And I feel really sad about that.
Oh, no.
I'm thinking about you saying about when you're young and you think it's cool, this sort of violence and stuff. And I always think about Steve Martin said in an interview once, he said, "The older I get, the harder comedy gets because my empathy gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's so hard to do
jokes about people or anything, because I feel sorry for everyone now.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
I mean, that's the hard thing to do with it, even with a joke, that you've got to be able to bump into that person or have them in front of you. And if you can't, then there's something missing.
Mm.
Not that I think that, you know, sometimes it's just a joke and no one wants to be the butt of the joke. No one wants to be the subject of a joke in case, because they feel people are laughing at them. And
yeah.
I think that it depends on the joke. It depends on the person, what they've done. Is it about something they can help? Is it about their public behaviour?
Yeah.
Do they deserve it? Are you punching up, punching down? All these things come into account.
Are you a vampire?
Yeah. And I wouldn't say comedy. I wouldn't say comedy. I mean, comedy, particularly with jokes, is an intellectual pursuit. And as soon as it gets emotional, it might be falling to the side of rallying. I've seen, you know, a comic come out, a Northern comic, I won't name him, he's come out on stage and they're all cheering and he's gone, what are we going to do about these fucking immigrants? And I thought, well, that's not a joke.
Yeah.
That's rallying. That's rallying. But I wouldn't say comedy is void of empathy, because I think it needs it. I think you have to understand what's right and wrong to deconstruct it or go the wrong way. And I think our intellect, our very being is built around empathy, and caring about others, and, you know, and even if it's being tribal, because I think the first joke was probably a caveman bumping his head and another caveman laughing because he knew he didn't mean to do that.
Right.
So it requires empathy. All jokes require empathy, because you have to be there. You have to be in the shoes of the protagonist or the victim to laugh. Yeah. Because if you don't care about anything, why is it funny?
That's very smart. Well, because it's a story. Every joke is a story.
Everything is a story. But you have to at least understand empathy to feel it and know why it's funny. So, but that's a very important part. I think he means he feels for the real victim of a joke or a punchline. But that's true. And when you don't care, you think, oh, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's hard. Don't forget, he's also thinking that it's harder to punch up, because he's a very powerful, loved person. So for those people in Hollywood, the only way they can punch up are probably billionaires and politicians.
Yeah.
It depends.
What is the film that, this is my favourite question, right? What is the film that has the most meaning to you? Not necessarily the film is particularly good, but it's because of the event surrounding the seeing of that film. It might have been your first date. It might be the day you lost a job. You'll always remember that film because of what happened.
Jungle Book.
Great. Go on.
One, it was an amazing film.
Yeah.
I loved animals. I was there with my mum.
How old were you?
I don't know. Maybe 8.
Okay, so near Old Yeller. Had you said to your mum, are they all going to die in this? Can you warn me in advance?
No, because I was aware. I was aware of the cinema.
Right.
Because I mean, it was an event, and I remember it wasn't just one of those old re-showings.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it was like an event in the school, and I went to a cinema in Reading, and it was like, I remember there was carpet up the walls.
Yeah.
I thought, what a fucking cool place this is. I didn't understand acoustics. I just thought, fuck me, this is a posh place. There's carpet up the walls. we can only just afford carpet to the edge of the wall, let alone up the wall.
The shake and vac bill on this place must be huge.
And I remember it had little spotlights all around the ceiling.
Yeah.
It was like being inside, wrapped in a carpet with little lights, and it was amazing. And I watched Jungle Book, and obviously the greatest event of my life up till then.
Yeah.
And I remember Baloo getting it, and I thought, this is getting too fucking much. This is going to turn me dark.
This is a fork in the road.
Right, atheism's a weekend away. Right. And then he was better. And I remember feeling this is the greatest feeling I've ever had. And I remember also walking home from it, saying to my mum, because it must have affected me.
Yeah.
I was saying, how old will I be when you die?
Oh, God.
And she went, oh, you'll be old. I went, will I care? Because I wanted not to care. I knew it was devastating now, but I wanted not to care. And she went, you'll care, but you'll be old enough to cope with it.
Oh, my God. That hurt my heart a bit.
So I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. And then the next day, which again might have been a slight influence, I went into school and they asked us what we'd done.
Mm.
And so I went to see Jungle Book. And she went, oh, tell us all about it. And I remember I had the kids doing the parts. I knew it off by heart. Yeah. And she went, we've got to stop now, Ricky. It's the end of school.
You've done it all day.
So she's basically, it was the last hour. Yeah, yeah. And so it was like, she had to go, fuck me, stop, were you?
You were like, it's only the first scene.
Yeah. I went, you wait till fucking Peter Jackson. There'd be 3 hour outtakes.
Wow. I love that you were like, this is going to turn me dark. That's great.
Yeah, no, yeah. I thought, oh, not again. Fuck me. Why do animals have to die?
It's going to turn me dark.
But then it turned around. This wasn't like Ring of Bright Water or Old Yeller. The bear was all right. Yeah. Best day ever. Let's act it out in real time.
Can I ask you, I'm just sort of, because of that story, how old were you when your mum died?
40.
Really?
Yeah.
God, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right, let's move on. You've made me sad. What is the film, this is a real, what's the film you thought is the sexiest?
I don't know what that means, really.
Well, it's how you interpret. Is there a film that when you were young, you were like, oh, bloody hell, this is exciting?
Wow.
Now,
that's the thing, though, isn't it? If you're counting films as for an adolescent boy, anything could happen.
Jungle Book.
Well, actually, my mate fancied Cheetah in He-Man, which I thought was a bit stretching it a bit.
Cheetah.
Yeah.
The cat.
Yeah, okay. Cartoon cat. And I've heard people think, oh, Roger Rabbit, and what's her name? Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's the joke, isn't it? I remember a mate and we must have been like 16.
Yeah.
If he saw a woman smoking on telly, he had to pop to his room.
He was on 20 a day.
So what's the sexiest thing, fags? To any Americans listening, that's slang for cigarettes.
Yes, just to be clear.
Just to be very...
single-handedly bring down this podcast.
I don't go. I've never gone for those, you know, those fucking semi-erotic nonsense things that are built for.
Yeah.
I can't even slag it off because I've never seen 50 Shades of Grey and all those things that are mildly. I don't. It just doesn't. But then sexy, it doesn't mean that, does it? It doesn't necessarily mean that. It means I don't know. I can't think of what. If someone said, you should see this film, it's sexy. Yeah. I'd go, why would I go and see a sexy film? What do you mean it's sexy?
Was there a movie star that you were like, that's my dream person? Like Grease 2, amongst its many. It's a feminist masterpiece. It's got everything, but it's also a sexy film.
Well, I suppose I was aware that I, you know, like Rodo, I'd say that's not a film. I knew at the time and in retrospect what it was good that it was like a lead woman who was independent and feisty and funny. Yeah. It's not a film, not an answer to your question. And I was aware when I watched as a teenager, I was aware things like The Graduate.
Yes.
This was a coming of age thing with a film. Yeah, yeah. And funny though.
Very funny.
And funny.
Your answer can be a funny film that's also sexy.
But that is amazing. When the awkwardness of Dustin Hoffman, who I assume is meant to be 18, but is probably 28, right? But that bit when he decides to go for it and in the hotel and he calls her from the lobby and it's a phone call and he goes, Robin, she goes, aren't you forgetting something? He goes, thank you, Mrs. She goes, no, the room number. And then help me with my dress. And the good look at the coat hangers, and he goes, wire or wood? You choose. It's just, so I like that sort of thing.
Oh, and the kissing with the cigarette, your mate must have been in a state.
Yeah, I like the reality of it. I liked, like I remember seeing, I can't remember which one it is. It's a Woody Allen, Diane Keaton, where she laughs at him being funny.
Yeah.
Which I thought, that's great. Because usually the players were above it in even comedy films. They'd say something funny and they wouldn't laugh because they was like, but the fact that she was laughing at him trying to impress her.
I love that.
What was it? Play Against Them? Was it Annie Hall? Or
a lot of his films.
Or someone he comes home and he said he was when he was mugged. And he goes, what do you need? He goes, how about a 3-foot Band-Aid? Yeah. And I thought, that's great that he's flirting and she's laughing.
Yeah.
So I like that sort of, I suppose, that reality, the real stuff more than this ridiculous Hollywood thing or that fucking, I mean, I can't imagine what 50 Shades of Grey is like. I don't know who it's aimed at. I haven't seen it, so that's not fair, but.
Massive groups of women for Valentine's Day.
Right. But I think superheroes, the reason it's like full of fucking teenage boys or some of them too old to be there, still living with their mum, is because there's tight outfits. Do you know what I mean? I think there's like, you know, it's like something going on. Why are we watching actors? It's like, I just don't get it. I don't get the superhero things. I mean, Spider-Man, that was disappointing. When I first heard Spider-Man, this is going to be good, right? Because I'm scared of spiders.
So
if this had been a 150-pound fucking arachnid that fucking caught you, bit you, and sucked your guts out. Now, as it is, it's a 150-pound bloke in fucking kid's pyjamas. Fuck off. I'd smack him in the face. If Spider-Man swung towards me, I'd punch him right in the fucking face. Fuck off, you weedy little cunt.
If anyone from Marvel is listening, Rick is like, no, he's still available to work. if you are planning to make the 150 massive spider...
I'll play that, yeah.
What is the film that you most related to? Do you have an answer for this?
I do, okay, I do. Great. And it's weird, and I don't know why, and I have to analyse it, so people don't think I'm cool or crazy or I think I'm fucking a rebel without a cause.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably something like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
And you relating to...
Well, him, because I thought, again, you watch it with different eyes when you get to an adult.
Yeah.
Because when I watched that, I thought he was the coolest man in the world who was being oppressed by the system. And I hate Nurse Ratched. But now, as a mature man, I think, well, he's not a good man, is he? He's not a good lad.
Yeah.
You know? But I think that disruptive, naughty, let's come on, fuck it, don't worry about it. I think I was sort of punk when I was, again, and not like he was. I didn't go out getting into fights and, you know, burning down buildings and robbing people and being a rebel like that. I answered back to teachers. So him in that thing is me answering back to teachers and authority.
We're finishing this act out of Jungle Book. I don't know what time it is.
So I think anything where I think I identify with anyone who answered back.
Right.
So I did like those were my superhero things, like Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah.
And Rebel Without a Cause and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And for even though they're all different and varying degrees of who was right and wrong and, you know, some heroes in films are fucking heinous characters.
Yeah.
You know, Tony Soprano is a sort of a hero. He's a fucking murderer.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how they do it. They get the you know, Godfather, you know, Michael, a fucking hero. Who says we can't kill a cop? It's a terrible thing to say.
Yeah.
But, you know,
you're still sticking around.
But they do it that he's fighting an unjust world. They make them the underdog, you know. So it sort of depends. So I've always identified with people standing up and saying, answering back to authority, why do we have to do it like this? You know, I like Planet of the Apes. The first time the apes go, we've had enough.
Yeah.
I fucking love that.
Oh yeah, it's so good.
It's amazing. I think the most important thing in the world is justice.
Yeah.
If I can analyze it and bring it down to justice, nothing makes my blood boil more than injustice. And it started with animals, and then it's the same. We're all animals. And injustice is the worst thing. It's the worst thing in the world.
Mm.
So anyone who does the right thing, honour, integrity versus, you know, a little bit of blowback.
Yeah.
I'm with that person. I'm with the person who does it because it's right, not because it'll be popular. They suffer for it. People walking into the sunset without the girl because it was the right thing to do. I love that shit.
Yeah.
I love that shit. And I like Shane because sometimes you got to shoot people.
Yeah, exactly right. Great answer. What is the film, objectively, because you do know the difference, that objectively you think is the greatest film of all time? Not your favourite necessarily, but you go, that's fucking...
Arguments aside, between one and two, The Godfather.
Okay.
It's a cinematic work of art.
And you're sticking with
it's,
part one.
It's a fuck... I will, because it's the first one I saw.
Yeah.
And I know how good two is, and it might even be better, but there's nothing so complete and perfect as a rip-roaring ride, because that mixes the best with my favourite, and it's fucking astounding.
Did you see it at the cinema when it was...
No, I didn't. Right. No. No, I saw it late. In fact, I saw it after... I hated gangster films.
Oh, really?
I hated them. I thought they were boring. I resisted them, and then I saw Goodfellas. Yeah. Thought, here we go. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
And people said, well, if you like that, you like The Godfather. I go, will I?
Fuck off, man. I like
it. Fucking hell. Unbelievable. No, so I probably saw it 20 years ago.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And you were like, this is the greatest.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. For so many reasons. I mean, everything about it is good. Yeah. And I don't usually get into things like the cinematography and the pacing and the, you know.
Yeah.
And I would never, if someone said, there was a good film on, 2.5 hours long, I'd go, forget it. But, yeah.
Is there a 10-hour Scandi Noir? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. But with drink breaks in your house over a 2-week period.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Do you know this, that Mario Puzo, who wrote The Godfather, made up all these things, like the codes, just made them up, and now Mafia used the codes that he made up. He didn't do all his research, just made up a load of shit. But they
what, Strictly Business and things like that?
Yeah, because it became so famous, and if you were Mafia,
I did hear they watched him filming it just to make sure he didn't...
Really?
Betray him to... Yeah. They
you make us look good. Yeah.
Yeah, they'd come out in the street and sitting on a chair and just... watch a little bit of the filming.
Fucking hell.
But yeah, it's great.
They have notes.
It's, I love that. It's, yeah, notes, yeah. Hey, what do you want? Yeah.
You want to punch this up a bit?
Yeah. But it's also, even without what it's about,
yeah,
it's Shakespearean, isn't it? It's an opera. It's the, you know, the guy, even where the little things like when they say, they know he's a civilian.
Mm.
And yet he's a soldier in real life, but he's a civilian in that family.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to be like them, so he's the best person to take over. You know, it's great. It's so... It's not just a shoot-em-up guy. It's fucking nuanced.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It is a brilliant film. It's the best film ever. I've said that.
You've said it. You said it. You're sticking with it.
But again, what a safe bet. No one's sitting home going, oh, come on, Rick, you're a little bit left field there, aren't you? God, you've stuck your neck out, boy.
God, he's just like Jack Nicholson in one
exactly, yeah.
What is the film... you might have answered this. What's the film you can or could watch the... you have or could watch the most over and over again?
That's a difficult one, because...
Is it Tootsie?
That's something that there is probably at the moment, backed up by statistics... But would that be forever? Like, it probably is. I can give you the films that I've watched the most and then think which one. I mean, it is Godfather and probably something like Tootsie and Marathon Man. And then, you know, things like A Few Good Men and those greens that are, you know, you've got to work up to it. But there were, you know, truth is, it's probably the number of times I've seen any part of a film.
Mm.
Now we're getting into things like...
Go on, what are you going to say?
Well, Muppet Christmas Carol, It's a Wonderful Life. Do they count? Because I watch them every Christmas.
Yeah.
Would I? Well, then it is probably a Christmas movie.
Muppet Christmas Carol.
It's probably Muppet Christmas Carol. But then that's not choice. You do that because it's the time of year. I wouldn't watch a Muppet Christmas Carol in June. I wouldn't watch A Wonderful Life in June. Even though It's a Wonderful Life, if it wasn't a Christmas film, would still be one of the greatest films.
Yeah.
Casablanca.
Yeah.
If we don't count Christmas, if we don't count Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Which I've probably watched the most because it's the greatest comedy film and the funniest. And I used to watch a bit of it when I was waiting for a cab.
Yeah.
Right. I know it off by heart.
Yeah.
If we don't count that, We don't crap Christmas films.
Okay.
And it shouldn't be Godfather because it's worth too much to watch it 100 times and let it lose anything.
Yeah.
It probably is something like...
Commuter.
Yeah. It probably is something like Tootsie.
Okay.
That we watch together. We go, we decide on a film. You know, that's the film that we decide on as well.
That's nice.
Outside Christmas that we have to watch a Muppet Christmas Carol, you know.
Yeah.
December comes, it's Muppet Christmas Carol. Then It's a Wonderful Life. Then one of the 40, you know, Miracle on
46th Street.
You know, it's, you know, Elf. It's like, it's those that, that win because of Christmas. But it probably is something like Tootsie, yeah.
Lovely. What is the worst, I don't like being negative, but we'll do it briefly. What's the worst film you ever saw?
I've got one that came to mind because I remember watching it and talking about it, which is unfair because it probably isn't the worst ever. You know what? If I don't, if a film doesn't, because of DVD, you know, and a plane, I don't think I've ever walked out in a cinema, but I don't go to the cinema.
Right.
But the fact that you can stop a DVD and watch another one.
Yeah.
Lots of films have been stopped after 5 minutes.
Right.
Okay, this is awful.
Okay.
Anything can annoy me. Honestly, the art direction can annoy me. Why is it all brown? Why is every room fucking brown?
Let's go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, why is it... If a film starts in a nightclub with someone fucking taking cocaine, turn it off, banging music... And someone taking coca, and then Russians come in and shoot everyone. Turn it off.
I stopped doing this when I was 28.
You know, but I do remember a film, I'm watching it and thinking again, you know, one of those three, you watch it and go, fuck me, that I, why am I watching this?
Yeah.
I don't want to say. It's not fair. It's not fair.
Okay.
I don't want to say because it's too modern.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It wasn't aimed at me. I don't like films that are too middle class and mimsy, and this was way too middle class and mimsy, and didn't relate to me. Yeah. It was a pro, you know. It's not fair.
All right. Well, you can tell me off the record.
I will. Yeah.
I'm just gonna leave a pause.
With... Maybe I will, baby.
I think you've answered this, and your answer was correct. But what's the film that makes you laugh the most?
Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Well, again, age relative. I probably have never laughed as much ever at any film as at the farting scene in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or Airplane.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But with an adult head looking back and adding it all together and being objective, it's Spinal Tap.
Yeah. Spinal Tap is the greatest comedy film.
It is the greatest comedy film.
Yeah. But,
and there's been some great ones. And there's,
really,
you know, and I don't, I've got to the point now where I think making a comedy film is a waste of a film. Because I think it's not the best format for it.
Interesting.
But I usually need Comedy Plus as well. And that has a bit of Comedy Plus, but actually it's just silly. I think that's what lasts longer with a comedy film. It's just silly. Because it's about the human
silly,
condition.
Yeah.
Adults being silly. We're all men as boys. We're all silly. It's laughable.
Yeah.
We take life too seriously. It's laughable. You should laugh at us, particularly men. You should laugh at men.
Yeah.
You should laugh at the vanity of the man. And then comedy, at its essence, is an ordinary guy or gal, but you know, usually an ordinary guy trying to do something he's not equipped to do. You know, I stole everything from everywhere to make David Brent.
Yeah.
The archetypal man who's not... He thinks he's good at everything.
Yeah.
And he's not. And he's not that bad.
Yeah.
You know, so all those things that I've stolen from make me laugh, from Spinal Tap. And then the silliness of Airplane.
Yeah.
How silly. And everyone's a winner. And Woody Allen, you know. Play It Again, Sam is my favourite. Not his, really. No, he didn't write that, did he?
No, he didn't. He wrote it, but he didn't direct it.
Didn't direct it, that's right. But again, just a grown man trying to be something he's not.
Yeah.
Instantly funny. So yeah, I do like that. I do like the, if we're going to do it, I like a putz. I like a putz at the bottom and just struggling.
Yeah.
And if he's angry, anger's funny.
It's very funny.
You don't want him to be too self-aware. but you want him to know it's not working. So yeah, I'd say Spinal Tap.
Correct. That is actually the
thank greatest. You. How many have I got right?
You got one right.
Actually. Okay. Yeah. Good.
Well, the sexy one, Chitira. You got that right.
That wasn't me. That was my mate.
Your mate got 1 point. The last question is, which I don't put on the list deliberately, is what's your favourite film? You're only allowed one.
It's Godfather.
Okay.
It is. Yeah. Is that annoying that it's. Why wouldn't I think my favourite film is the best? I know I don't have to. But that's not true, is it? You can watch films that because
I think like
there can be an emotional thing of what
like Don't Look Now I think is probably top three greatest films of all time, but I couldn't watch it every day. It's not like,
you know what I mean? So the difference between your favourite that you watch any time all the time and
whereas
you love it.
School of Rock or Muppet Christmas Carol, I could watch that. That's my favourite. But the greatest is Don't Look Now. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Well, The Godfather, I have to say, is the greatest then, don't I?
Yeah.
So if I had to choose one that I could watch more.
Yeah.
Well, again, we've said the ones that I can watch over and over again.
It can be so, The Godfather. It might make you happy.
I think it might be my favourite. I do.
Great.
I do love to get there, and I love that. It's the film I wish I hadn't seen, so I could watch it for the first time.
Right.
Because I remember.
Yeah,
I remember what it felt like, and it's amazing.
That's nice.
Ah, a film about murderers.
So sweet.
Oh, we cut off the horse's head. Oh,
lovely boy.
What a lovely present.
Jane, it's on again. Get the cocoa.
Oh, here we go.
It's the toll booth scene. Rick is your base. You have been a wonderful guest.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you being on here. Now, the last thing I have to tell you is that when you were avoiding that safe and you fell onto the spike and it went straight up your arse and through your mouth.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get you off. And so over 3 to 4 days, you slowly died of starvation. We couldn't get anything down.
And in heaven, there's just wheels on the spike and I just shuffle round.
Yeah. But so when we went to bury you, you were so stuck. We couldn't get you off the spike. So we had to drill in, pull the spike out. It had a stand. We put it in the coffin. The whole point is, the coffin we'd built was for your size. We hadn't planned on the spike and everything. There's no room left in the coffin.
Yeah.
There's only enough room to slide one DVD in for you to take over to the other side. And on the other side, there's movie night. And one night, it's your movie night. What's the film you're taking to show everyone on movie night?
But why isn't that Godfather or Spinal Tap or Tootsie, the ones I've mentioned?
Two reasons. One is...
Whatever it is they haven't seen. Is
yeah,
that
you it? Might be worried someone else has taken
Godfather.
It's up to you. I mean, it's probably... I could give you a heads up.
Go on.
I reckon Godfather's already there.
Oh, I see. So I've got to take one.
Also, you've got to present the film. I mean, Godfather may be your answer. But you're in... You know, it's your movie now. It's Ricky.
Oh, well, I like the idea of having to think about it, and it's a film that I've got a surprise. So basically, it mustn't be... Empire's top 10. It's got to be one
that's
that.
A way of looking
yeah,
at it, sure.
Okay. That's tricky. Someone that would blow their mind.
Yeah.
That they'd go, oh my God, you know what the bloke on the spike bought? Right.
Do you know what? At first, I wasn't sure about that guy.
That he bought a film that we haven't seen or heard of.
He had movie night. I think maybe I'll think of him more than just a man on a spike on wheels gurgling about.
Angels with Dirty Faces.
Great answer. It's not there. You can take that.
Amazing film.
Okay.
Loved it ever since I was a kid.
And that is one of the first films you saw on telly.
Yeah. But there's a bit in it that I sort of stole and watered down homeopathically, unrecognisably.
Go on.
So, Jimmy Cagney and Pat O'Brien star, along with Humphrey Bogart, I think. Anyway, so... They're born on the wrong side of the tracks together in a poor neighbourhood, and they're kids, they're hoodlums, they're running around doing stuff, and Jimmy Cagney gets caught and he's put in the system, a young offender, and becomes a big time gangster, America's sort of most wanted type, and Pat O'Brien, he becomes a priest, he goes good. And as he says in the film, it's because he could run faster than Jimmy Cagney, which is a brilliant bit of social commentary. You know, he wasn't put into the system. And so anyway, they're still friends. And whenever Jimmy Cagney comes out of jail now and again, he visits him. Mm-hmm. And he in the church where he runs a boys club and keeps him out of trouble, and they're playing basketball, and Jimmy Cagney comes in, and you know, it's great, and he's great with the kids, but they worship him, and things turn bad, and it's a rip roaring tale, and he gets caught, done for murder, and he gets the electric chair, and he's cool as fuck, and he's going, I'm gonna fucking spit in their eye, right? And he gets visited by Pat O'Brien, his friend, and you know, as the priest, and he goes, these kids look up to you. He says, if you go there, and he says, you'll be a hero. He asked him to scream and beg. And he goes, sorry, can't do it. And he goes, okay. And he's walking down the corridor. You just see it in the shadow. And at the last minute, oh my God, I'm welling up. He starts screaming and crying. It's unbelievable. And then they read about him in the paper the next day. The kids go, he was just a rat. He was just a no good rat. And Pat O'Brien sort of, oh, it's fucking amazing. And I stole that.
Where did you steal it for?
When Brent is being all cocky about being made redundant. Zanil, and then he goes, please don't make me redundant. So I was just there. very watered down version. He's not going to the electric chair.
Yeah.
He's being made redundant from the job he loves. And he decides to try a different method. But it's an amazing thing to do.
Yeah.
Before death.
That's great.
So, yeah, it is one of my favourite films of all time.
Really,
but too harrowing to watch too often.
Yeah.
See, I like films that end well.
Yeah.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, I can't watch the ending.
Mm.
Whereas Midnight Express, I'll just watch the ending.
There he is.
I'm going to swap endings.
He's fine.
Right up to when the Native American picks up the pillar, yeah. Right? Then the bloke in puts someone's head on a spike and escapes. There's a mashup of films. yeah. So Jimmy Cagney's just about to go to the electric chair, but then Baloo wakes up, and it's all fine. I could make the perfect film out of lots of different films.
That's a great movie night, Ricky Gervais. You've been excellent.
Thank you.
I wish you well on your spike.
Thank you.
I hope you have a right old time. Is there anything you'd like to say before we finish? Is there anything you need to plug or anything you want people to look for?
No.
I think they...
You're on my show, aren't you? They can check out...
Yeah, check on out.
Sirius.
Sirius XM.
If you're subscribing in America or on YouTube or audiobooks, you can look at that. Watch Humanity on Netflix. That's still there.
Have a look.
Have
a look.
That's still available.
Yeah. And your new show is coming soon. That's been announced, right?
Supernature's doing that, doing warm-up, so that I'll do a tour next year. Look forward to that, lads. And lasses. All welcome. That'll do for plugs, won't it?
Ricky Gervais, thank you very much.
Cheers, my pleasure.
Good day to you, sir. So that was episode 20. Thank you so much to Ricky for coming on the show. If you do enjoy this show, please subscribe and give it 5 stars and a nice review, for the simple reason that apparently it helps our numbers, means more people will get to hear it, I can keep making it, etc., until we all die or the internet explodes. I'd like to thank Jonathan for organising this one. Thanks to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to Acast for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lydon for the artwork. Come back next week for more Films to be Buried With, when I will be releasing the very special live episode that we recorded at the BFI South Bank with Mr. Will Poulter. It was cracking. But in the meantime, look after yourselves, have a good week, and please be excellent to each other.
Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind. Sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.